Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
We're going to get some advice now for customers and for businesses from two people who know about this area inside out, and that's Detective Inspector Mel Smith from the Garda National Economic Crime Bureau and Jackie Fox, Managing Director of Security for Accenture Ireland and also Vice Chair of Cyber Ireland. And thank you both very much for joining us this afternoon. I might come to yourself first, Detective Inspector Smith, because you're going to give us some do's and don'ts in a moment when it comes to online. But first, you might give us some other examples of what online shopping fraud looks like from the perspective of the victim.
Well, another example would be a person who went to buy a mobile phone online, again paid €250 for that particular case, was from a bank account to bank account, and the phone never arrived. Or another person selling an electronic device, the buyer contacted them, they posted the device to that. The seller posted their laptop to the buyer, and the money was never paid over. And sometimes they might even pay a deposit, a small deposit. Product is sent on, but the remainder of the money is not paid. So there's different ways of being defrauded online.
What are the key things, then, when it comes to do's and don'ts to look out for? What are the things you shouldn't do?
Well, first of all, what you shouldn't do is don't send money to someone you don't know. So just because they have a phone number and you're speaking to them, they're giving you a bank account, you don't know them, you're trying to buy a product off them, don't send them money until you're 100% certain. And if you're in doubt, don't do it. Never send your card or account details by email, text or messaging services. That's very important data, and in the wrong hands, it can be used. Your account could be emptied very quickly, or your credit card compromised. And if you're online or you're speaking to someone and you're just not in the place to make a purchase, don't leave your identity details behind on a website or on a messaging app, or don't send it, or your card details if you're not going to make the purchase, because that information is now outside your control and can be used to compromise your bank account or your credit card.
I was saying, Detective Inspector, at the beginning of the show that I actually made three purchases online today because I'm starting to try and get my Christmas shopping in order, and all three were on sites that I hadn't used before, but I felt just by the feel of them that they were safe enough, which is probably not a good enough bar. Now, I also use PayPal where I could, but like, are there particular ways when you're on a website and you're trying to shop, are there particular ways of knowing if the website can be trusted or not?
Well, the first thing is that you probably went on today and you were looking for a particular product, and you searched, and you're conducting the search. So that's the first thing, that you're actually out searching for the product, and you're more than likely going to find a website. Sometimes the fraudsters will find you and they will send you a text or an email or some message on a social media and try and attract you to their site. So that's the first thing, the fact that you're looking for. So an unsolicited request to direct you towards a particular website would be something that I would caution. The second thing is that when you look at an online, you'll often see a padlock to the on the top, padlock, and then HTTPS. The padlock would indicate there's a high level of security in that particular website. And when you talk about unknown websites, like, you have kind of, because you search yourself, you're probably finding it. But the very safe way, all Irish shops now are going online, or a lot of them, because of the restrictions. And, you know, when you're dealing with known shops, known websites, you know, you're generally going to be fairly safe.
Okay, well, stay with us if you don't mind. We also have Jackie Fox on the line, as I said, Vice Chair of Cyber Ireland and Managing Director of Security for Accenture Ireland. Jackie, can you give us an example of a victim that you might encounter in your work?
Yeah, my work is often from a slightly different angle, because we're often helping businesses who've had some kind of compromise. And one of the most common scams that happens to organisations is what we call business email compromise. And it's where somebody gets to know a little bit about your business, and they might know that, for example, if you were a restaurant, that you might have a relationship with a particular food supplier. So they would send you an email making it look as if it came from the food supplier, saying, unless you get that payment in, we didn't receive it, you know, we're not going to be able to provide the food to you. They put a sense of urgency around it, and they put the onus on you that you're doing them a big favour, and you're fantastic, you've saved the world. But on the other hand, you're probably doing something like saying, right, we're going to send this to a new bank account now and transfer that money. And of course, the money is gone then. And certainly there's a big investigation as to why did you not follow process? What have you done to the company? And, you know, at this time, it's very difficult if you're the person who's clicked on something or has done something that has impacted your company transferring funds out to a fraudster. So, my advice would be to companies to have really strict process around this and involve multiple people in that approval chain to try and protect organisations from fraudsters coming in at that angle.
Could I ask you, Jackie, one thing people kind of sometimes feel, I think, about online crime or being defrauded online, it's kind of a little bit different to hard cash. If you lose hard cash, it's gone. But sometimes I think people feel that if they use a credit card online, that it's some way that the loss is retrievable. Is that the case in a lot of the cases?
Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. It depends on how the transaction went ahead. And often, if you have voluntarily given your credentials to something like your username, your password, your PIN code, even though the fraudster that asked for it and you gave it, it's a bit like somebody coming to your door and saying, I see a bit of a problem with your car there. Would you mind giving me your car keys so I have a look? You hand them the keys and off they go and your car is gone. Is it the fault of the car manufacturer or is it your fault that you handed the keys to them? You know, so it's a bit the same in the online world. Like if somebody sends you a text saying your credit card limit is up, please click here and go and sort it out, you should go to your bank account via the link that you normally would or via your mobile app and not via a link that somebody sent you. So it really depends on how that fraud has happened in the online world.
I might come back to yourself, Detective Inspector. I know there's a type of fraud, a card not present fraud. What is that?
That's where a customer goes online or maybe calls into a business and gives a credit card details or a debit card details, and they'll have they might have the 16-digit code, the expiry date, and the CV number at the back. And it's important to remember that if card or account is compromised, that there's a window of opportunity for the fraudster before the owner of the card or the credit card company who are on top of these things in a lot of ways, identify